Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Love them or love to hate them, embrace the glitter, however scratchy it may be, or deny the lure of those toe-tapping tunes, movie musicals have a storied and serenaded place in American popular culture. Richard Berrios worked in the music and film industries before turning to film history with his award-winning book, A Song in the Dark, The Birth of Musical Film. His encore is the new book, Dangerous Rhythm, Why Movie Musicals Matter. Richard Berrios joins us now. Richard, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you for having me in.
Of course. Let's begin broadly with the subtitle of your book, Why Do Movie Musicals Matter?
You know, originally I had done the subtitle of the book as When Movie Musicals Matter, and my publisher told me, no, I should be more definite about it. So I decided to zero in then on the fact that musicals at their greatest really do matter. They expose things that otherwise we only dream about and make them real and tangible to people. And they provide a sort of unparalleled kinds of diversion and excitement for people. But at the same time, and this is why I was going to say when they matter, they can really go wildly wrong and make all sorts of mistakes and alienate their audiences, which is part of the reason they've gone in and out of fashion so much for the last 85 plus years.
A lot of people that I know but do not relate to can take or leave, but mostly leave and even ardently dismiss the movie musical. Do you think that's because of the times that they have failed, or are there people who are just going to reject the schmaltz out of hand?
I think there are going to be some people who just reject them totally. And I understand that. There's a certain kind of maybe suspension of disbelief that's involved. And some people are just not going to be willing to deal with that. And I think then for other people, it's the ones where the films just seem too schmaltzy, which they don't have to be, and the really good ones are not, or just too irrelevant. And that's why, for example, a lot of musicals lost touch with their audiences in the late 1960s, when there was so much going on in the world with great seriousness, the Vietnam War, the Civil Rights Movement, Stonewall riots, all these sorts of things were starting to happen or had been going on. And the musicals seemed irrelevant to the point of being clueless. They were so divorced from their time that they seemed totally expendable, and that was when audiences really turned their backs on them. And that can obviously, it should alienate an audience. Audiences have the right to demand good musicals, musicals that are aware of the people that are going to see them and that are aware of their history.
What were some of those out-of-touch musicals from the late 60s?
Well, my favorite awful one is Paint Your Wagon.
Got a dream, boy, got a song. Paint your wagon and come along.
Which is most egregious for me because it tries so hard to be hip and trendy and fails so massively. So that's one. A lot of people don't like the film of Camelot, and I can certainly understand why.
If ever I would leave you, it wouldn't be in summer. Seeing you in summer, I never would go.
Song of Norway is sort of like a bad clone of The Sound of Music.
It's as though we stand on some high hill surveying the future that could be ours.
The bright gray dreams that we should fulfill spread before us in all their glory.
Whether we follow them together,
that will tell the ending of the story.
It doesn't really seem to have any reason for existing except as an imitation of The Sound of Music. Later on, you had Lucille Ball in MAME, which went wrong for a number of reasons. And, you know, the reasons that these movies all failed and failed their audiences are fairly plain. And the fact is that filmmakers need to learn as much from the bombs, from the real, you know, the real duds, as they do from the great ones like Singin' in the Rain or Meet Me in St. Louis or Gigi or Love Me Tonight or The Wizard of Oz. They all are there, and the history is all there for us to see and to hear and to experience. And the really good filmmakers are the ones who understand this and who draw from it.
You write in Dangerous Rhythm that movie musicals are uniquely American. How so?
Well, musical comedy, as we experience it now, as it has been experienced on Broadway since, my goodness, the 1800s, did sort of evolve in America. There were obviously major European roots. You think of Gilbert and Sullivan in England, the operettas of Jacques Offenbach in France, the German operetta tradition. But the American spin on it with the songs and the comedy sort of commingling and the comedians, the subsidiary characters, the big dance numbers, the way it all came together really did happen first on Broadway, starting probably in the 1880s, I would say, and then in film, which came in at the end of the 1920s. And at first, you know, it was thought that musical film would function just as an exact copy or extension of the stage. And then very, very rapidly, it developed its own language and its own syntax and went off in its own direction.
Stage musicals are often adapted to film, and the movie musical takes the same path in reverse more and more often now, it seems. How frequently is that flip from stage to film or film to stage successful for any given title or story?
Well, it's a very, very slippery slope. And some musicals do it beautifully. Some function very well as reasonable facsimiles, we can say, of the Broadway originals. I think of the film of The King and I, for example.
Shall we dance?
1, 2, 3, and.
On a bright cloud of music, shall we fly?
1, 2, 3, and.
Shall we dance?
1, 2, 3, and.
Shall we then say goodnight and mean goodbye?
1, 2, 3, and.
Oh, perchance,
when the last little star has leave the sky,
shall we still be together with our arms around each other? And shall you be my new romance? On the clear understanding that this kind of thing can happen,
shall we dance?
Shall we dance? Shall we dance?
Which expands on, in some ways, on the scope of the stage original without changing too much. Or West Side Story, which some people really, really love. Not everyone, but some people really love, and which is a fair copy of the original, but with the locations added, which really do give a lot to the film. Mm-hmm. So you have those that really work well. On the other hand, you have a film like South Pacific. Which is very leaden and heavy and depends too much on the stage original. And even though it has beautiful location work, the director who came from Broadway, Joshua Logan, had this notion of drenching everything in all these colored camera filters. So you never know when everything's just going to kind of go purple.
That's true.
Literally.
Yeah.
And it doesn't serve the show well if you've seen a good production of South Pacific on stage. And then you see the movie, you can feel the letdown. On the other hand, you have a film like The Sound of Music, which is so cinematic, and whether or not one loves the material, and a lot of people do and some don't, once again, the way that the film sort of opened up the show and became, at the time, the most successful film yet made. So obviously they did something right.
With songs they have sung for a thousand years, the hills fill
to sing every song it hears.
Our guest is Richard Berrios. His book, Dangerous Rhythm, Why Movie Musicals Matter, is published by Oxford University Press.
My heart wants to sigh like a chime that flies from a church on a breeze. To laugh like a brook when it trips and falls over stones on its way. To sing through the night like a lark who is learning to pray. I go.
Copycats, when studios were churning out films, and Annie Get Your Gun led to Calamity Jane, On the Town created Hit the Deck, and there's all kinds of things like that. What do you come down on some of those?
Well, back then, in the so-called golden years of the studio system, there were so many films being made and so many musicals being made that imitation was sort of inevitable. You know, we still have it in film. How difficult can it be now to differentiate some of the superheroes from each other? Because they all blend together. You know, they use the same digital special effects and everything. So it's sometimes the imitations were very skillful. The one you named, Calamity Jane, has one of Doris Day's best performances. And mm-hmm. Doris Day was not always well served by musical film. She was always excellent, but the movies often were not. And in Calamity Jane, it happened that she did get a good property.
I just flew in from the Windy City. The Windy City is mighty pretty, but they ain't got what we got. I'm telling you, boys, we got more life in Deadwood City than in all of Illinois. On the street was a dancing feller, all dressed up in a suit of yeller, and the dance that he did there went something like this.
Calamity Jane, I think, can be seen as the equal in a different way of Annie Get Your Gun. But a lot of the imitations just don't cut it. They're pale, they're washed out. A film like Meet Me in St. Louis, which is so beautiful, it spawned a number of sort of nostalgia musicals with old songs about families at the turn of the century, and one with Doris Day, in fact, on Moonlight Bay. And boy, when you see the original and then you see the copycats, you know how uninspired old-school Hollywood could be. And, of course, now it's going, as you said, the other way. Broadway is now doing, and has been for a while now, live-action versions of films, some of them films that had real people in them, and a lot of them are animated films. And, you know, there was one really good one. The Lion King, which was brilliantly reimagined, but most of them don't try that degree of imagination, and it's literal and it's leaden, and they're sort of trading in on the goodwill of the film without bringing anything of their own to the party. And you can tell, it doesn't seem very inspired.
You say that of the other animated adaptations, or most of them overall?
Yes.
Yeah.
Both. I remember back in the, what was it, the 1980s even, they brought Singing in the Rain to the stage. Mm-hmm. And I saw the production of Meet Me in St. Louis on the stage. And, you know, even when the performers were really good people, we had seen this before, often in a very immortal way. And no matter how skillful or well-meaning the performer, I mean, there was no way that somebody on the stage was going to be able to recreate or exceed, let alone, Gene Kelly.
Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face.
Splashing with his umbrella in the downpour. It just wasn't going to happen. And I would love it if more producers would think of going on their own paths instead of just trying to imitate and recreate things that were done so well the first time that they don't need redoing.
Yeah, I've had the same feeling when I heard recently that Steven Spielberg might direct a new movie version of West Side Story. I was like, yeah, we're good. Come on, leave it alone.
And it's always going to happen. It's happened twice with King Kong. It's so easy to follow the paths that have already been, you know, trod and paved. But you see that the really, really clued in people, the brilliant filmmakers, from someone like Ruben Mamoulian back in the early 1930s to Vincent Minnelli or Bob Fosse or Rob Marshall with Chicago, they find their own ways and they are aware of the history, but they're not so beholden to their predecessors that they just want to just, let's say it, steal from them. They find their own ways to reimagine and rethink and sometimes honor the shows. A film like Cabaret, for example, which is really brilliant, and it does honor in some ways the stage musical that it's based on, but it also does a tremendous amount of reimagining. And for years, Cabaret was considered the last great musical film because there was nothing that came close to it for almost 30 years.
Willkommen, bienvenue, welcome. Fremde, étranger, stranger. Glücklich zu sehen, just wie enchanté. Happy to see you, bleibe reste stay. Willkommen, bienvenue, welcome im cabaret, au cabaret, to cabaret.
And the thing that did come close, was it Chicago or something else?
I would say Chicago. I know a lot of people like Moulin Rouge, but once again, it's a matter of taste, isn't it?
It is.
You know, I've had discussions, very common, reasonable ones, with people who love Moulin Rouge, and I can understand it. I just hope that people can understand why I myself find it a bit relentless. You know, but musicals can do that, and I've seen fights break out too, with disagreements over a certain title. But you know, some people love the film of My Fair Lady, and that's another one they've talked about remaking too. And some people, and I find that I'm among them, don't find it very cinematic. You wish that there had been a little more a film in it. It seems sort of staid and stagey. And it could have used a little more life. It could have opened a few more windows, maybe.
9 p.m., 10 p.m., on through midnight, every night, 1 a.m., 2 a.m.
What do you think of last year's version of Les Miserables?
I was very careful in the book writing about that film. I feel that this is a show that divides people. I know people that love it, and I know people that can't stand it. It really does separate a lot of people. So I feel that writing about a show like that, you do have to honor the people for whom it does fulfill their wishes for what they want to get out of a musical. At the same time, some other people who don't find it very edifying or find it maybe a bit pompous or overbearing. I think the film served the show very well. I think it is a valid film of a very, very popular show. With this one, as in a, maybe like The Sound of Music, you could say this also. If you liked the show, you were going to like the movie. And if you didn't, well, this wasn't going to bring anything new to the table. And in this case, I don't think there was any way it could have.
Do you hear the people singing the song of angry men? It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes.
In the last couple of minutes we have here, what is your State of the Movie Musical address? There are a few coming out shortly, Into the Woods in the last 5 years or two, I think, of off the top of my head. What do you think? Do you think movie musicals will always be made, and do you think that is okay?
I do think movie musicals will be with us indefinitely, maybe forever, and I hope they are. There will never be, again, the kind of proliferation of them that there was in the 1930s and 40s and into the 1950s. You know, television sort of killed them in the 50s. The economics are just not in their favor for them to be a lot of them. They will keep happening, and when there is a good one, if Into the Woods, for example, is a good film, there will be more. And if it's a bad film, they will go into hibernation again. But the thing about them is they always come back. They've survived Mariah Carey and Glitter. They've survived Lucille Ball and Mame. They've survived Paint Your Wagon with Lee Marvin trying to sing. They do keep coming back. They have their own kind of time frame. And that's the wonderful thing about them, is that they do keep coming back. But there will never be every 2 or 3 weeks, like there used to be during World War II, for example. There will never be that again. There's been too much that's changed in us and in what we pursue for entertainment. But they will still be there in some form.
Which is good for you and good for me.
It is good. And then, of course, the other thing about them that's so wonderful, I call it a blessing, is that the great ones that have already happened will always be with us. And the best of them don't grow old, and we don't grow tired of them. Fred Astaire will still be dancing with Ginger Rogers. Judy Garland will still be trying to get over the rainbow. That's all there, and it's always going to be there, and our lives are really better for it.
The name of the book is Dangerous Rhythm, Why Movie Musicals Matter by Richard Berrios. It's published by Oxford. Richard, thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Thank you, Sarah. It was a pleasure.
Away above the chimney tops, that's where you'll find me. Somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly. Birds fly over the rainbow.
Once more, Richard Berrios' book is Dangerous Rhythm, Why Movie Musicals Matter. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
If happy little bluebirds fly beyond the rainbow, why?